Hey, yo, everybody. This is Mo. Welcome to We Talk Fantasy Football, show number 6. I am here with, as I always am, championship winning manager Brett, serving as our analyst. What's going on, Brett?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm better at fantasy football than I am at Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
And who isn't? But
I'll bet you there's some people.
Probably some people. Well, maybe if you practice some Rock'em Sock'em, just get up your lazy ass.
Yeah, that's right. Get up off my lazy ass and sit down and play some Rock'em Sock'em.
Well, here we are. We're out on the patio, a beautiful fall day here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And We Talk Fantasy Football is ready to do our sixth show, as we say. This one's going to be called 32 Teams in 48 Minutes. We're going to give you the quick highlights, the blow past, to give you all the information you need. All filler, or all killer, no filler.
All filler, no killer, yeah.
All killer, no filler. We're going to get to it. We're going to open it up right now. And Brett, are you ready?
All right. Ready.
Okay, let's start AFC East. Patriots, go.
Well, I love me the way Tom Brady is playing. One of the things that I find most interesting about the Patriots is that they have played pretty much a different offensive system through each of their first 5 games. Brandon Lloyd is probably a little lower than you may hope overall, the way he's playing. But Stephen Ridley's been quite the good surprise. They actually seem to have a lead running back for a change.
Yes, provided he doesn't fumble away the job.
I think that that Bolden is showing up a little more than a lot of people suspected. And he could.
Would you? I was waiting after his first good week. I'm thinking now people should add him to the rosters. Agreed?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that he stands a better chance because it appears that he's definitely in line over Shane Vereen to get carries. Wes Welker, despite his latest kind of jab at Bill Belichick in the media, should probably stay with his job as the slot machine, and he's looking really
good. It's too valuable for him to get rid of right now, but is Lloyd going to come back together?
Well, I think you mean Lloyd, like, yeah. Brandon. Yeah, Brandon, yeah. Lloyd will have his good games and he'll have his bad games. And Gronkowski's playing well and Hernandez is going to come back. So I look forward to seeing it when Hernandez comes back. That'll be the real clincher for Wes Welker, that's for sure. Their defense, spotty at best.
Cut. Moving on. Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, wow. Now here's a team where the defense is pretty good at stopping the run. And the offense is pretty offensive, but I mean, Brian Hartline had an amazing game. In fact, he's kind of turning into a viable fantasy receiver. I mean, he had a pretty off game in week 5, but overall, I think that was more of an anomaly.
The game he had in week 5, if you had drafted him and we're expecting him to be your wide receiver 4, you'd be totally happy with it.
Yeah.
It's just the expectations were raised based on what happened earlier.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get 200-plus yards again in a game, but at the same time, if he carries on...
for the rest of his career, he's not going to.
Yeah. But if he carries on and gives you wide receiver 3 numbers for the rest of the season, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, his quarterback, I think, is playing well as a rookie in the NFL. That doesn't really make him a fantasy quarterback still either.
No, he's definitely not a fantasy quarterback.
And Hartline's value is tied to that.
Totally tied to that. Devon Bess has some PPR value. Reggie Bush has probably been the biggest eye-opener so far for the Dolphins this season.
But he's
season.
Fallen off the last couple of games, and a lot of that is due to injury.
And again, injury with Reggie Bush. I mean, who'd have thunk that one, eh?
Yeah, it's brand new.
I mean, otherwise, you know, the Dolphins just have so little other than that. I mean, but I mean, they got some spot players that you can still work out with.
All right, wrap it. We're cutting. We're going to the New York Jets.
The New York Jets. Well, what hasn't been said about the New York Jets, primarily by Rex Ryan? Except for the fact that when you listen to Rex, it just think the exact opposite. Mark Sanchez, not a good quarterback.
Well, he's a great quarterback, obviously.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah, just ask Ryan. That's a quote. Well, Mark Sanchez, Mark is a great quarterback, obviously.
Yeah, their running game, they have...
That should have elicited laughter from the media that day.
Yes. They have a running game that
no,
that
they don't.
Has all the talent. Oh no, wait, that's right. They have no talent on the running game, currently without Santonio Holmes and Stephen Hill. That means that Jeremy Curley is their number one wide receiver. So that kind of, I mean, he actually played pretty well on this last game. And
yeah, one of the things about, I mean, this last game here, Matt Schaub didn't really necessarily outplay Mark Sanchez, but overall, because they have such a better team and a better running game, they easily won the game.
Yeah, you know? They didn't have to work very hard at it. And I think that the thing is that the expectations on the Jets and what Rex Ryan is asking of them is just too much. They're not built to play the game that Rex Ryan wants them to play.
No, no. Sanchez, you said to me earlier, Sanchez, they're trying to make him Aaron Rodgers. He should be Alex Smith.
Absolutely. Totally. Because they just don't have enough of a running game or an offense to keep going.
Well, I have more to say, but cut. We're moving on. Bills, go.
Oh, my Lord. Well, at the beginning of the season, I thought that the Bills' defense was going to be vastly improved. I expected it to be kind of what the Houston Texans were the year before. Man, was I wrong in that regard. The Bills are just devastatingly bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick is up and down and all around. Stevie Johnson is still really the only wide receiver focal point. Scott Chandler's put up some interestingly good tight end numbers, which is kind of a surprise to me. But he's still not a great play. C.J. Spiller, you know, exploded onto the scene when Fred Jackson got hurt, put up some shockingly good numbers, and really brought it to the point where you question, when you're drafting, do you draft for touches a la Sean Green, or do you draft for talent a la C.J. Spiller and just hope that the talent eventually comes through and wins out? I mean, Fred Jackson has a lot of talent, but C.J. Spiller has way more. And I think that it's just a shame that Spiller got injured, because it's kind of making that team a real wasteland for fantasy right now.
I agree.
And I think that they could do more.
Okay. Cut. Let's move into the AFC North and do the Ravens.
AFC North with the Ravens. All right. Well, Ray Rice has been really consistent and really good. He's not gone too far up and exploded. Hasn't really had bad games.
Do you think he will?
I don't think he will, per se. I mean, I'm sure that he may have one or two games where he gets 30 points as opposed to 20. I'm not sure that we'll see we'll see too many 40 point games. But Flacco had a real down game against the Chiefs, and I know you called it as one of those games where
it's a trap game, a game that I saw the Ravens easily could have lost, even though they're a much better team, on the road against a team that you don't respect, you know, who's plays tough at home.
Yeah, Torrey Smith has been really consistent this year for what we expect out of him, which is fairly inconsistent. He had a down game this week, but otherwise he's been a really good player.
He's such a great deep threat, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and with Joe Flacco playing the way he's playing, he's usually able to get it out to him. I think the biggest surprise for the Ravens has been Anquan Boldin. Mm-hmm. So far, he's actually having a really decent, consistent season.
His last two games, he saw so many targets.
Yeah, the more targets that Anquan Boldin gets, the better off he's going to be. So he could be an asset for you in a PPR league, I think.
How about Pitta?
Pitta? Oh, Pitta. He started out on fire, and now he's cooling off.
Yeah, as to be expected. Cut. Moving on. Let's do, Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. Well, I got to say, one thing about the Cleveland Browns is that, Trent Richardson is probably doing better than I anticipated him doing as a rookie running back playing for the Cleveland Browns. So he is kind of probably a pleasant surprise for Cleveland Brown fans.
Considering where he was usually drafted, what, second round?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you consider him value for that? Real life, I think the Browns fans need to be happy. But should fantasy owners be happy?
You know, I think they probably should, given some of the other players, Chris Johnson, perhaps, who were drafted. I think that maybe Trent Richardson is giving good, consistent second-round value. It's not as high as we might expect normally, but for this year, I think it's actually good value. One of the guys I do want to quickly talk about, because there's no wide receivers to speak of at all, or tight ends, for that matter, or a defense. But you know, Brandon,
actually, the defense has been pretty good fantasy wise.
Yes, but not just, you know, it's so hard to tell when they're startable because they could get blown out in any moment.
That's true.
But Brandon Whedon is a guy who started out on one of the shakiest starts that you could ever imagine with, like, throwing four interceptions. But he is really picking up the pace right now, and he actually could be on the radar as a QB2. He's not a QB1, but he's putting up some numbers, and he's definitely better than some.
Makes you wonder, though, what he could be if he had, say, Green Bay's
receivers. Oh, receiving core. Absolutely.
All right, we got to cut it there. We got to go to the Bengals.
The Bengals. Well, Andy Dalton. I don't know what to say about Andy Dalton because he's a good quarterback, and then he's a bad quarterback. And when he's a bad quarterback, he's a really, really, really bad quarterback. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is exactly the running back that we knew he was. He is slow, and they're giving him too many carries to the point where he's wearing out, and now he's just getting, like, 50 yards a game. Not even.
Yeah, and with his primary backup, Bernard Scott, now done for the season again.
Again.
Leaving what, Brian Leonard going to be his backup now?
Brian Leonard, and I think there's one other guy that I don't remember who.
His name escapes you?
Yeah.
Is that going to help or hurt, or does it even matter with Ben Jarvis?
Well, I think they're going to try to keep Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis off the field a little bit, but, you know, how much can you do that with that team? I mean, their receivers after A.J. Green, I mean, A.J. Green is a stud. Like,
he's awesome.
He's an awesome player, and I think that it hurts him to not have somebody consistent opposite him, and B, to not have that great running game that can really take the
Jermaine Gresham is probably your second best receiver, and he's at best a tight end too.
Yeah, he's slow. He doesn't have the same kind of receiving skills that some of the other guys do.
Alright, wrap it, we're cutting, we're going to the Steelers.
The Steelers, well, you know, the way the Steelers started out, you started to wonder if they were going to even be in the playoff hunt. But now that they've had the savior return, Rashard Mendenhall, their running game actually has signs of life, and that's good because I know that we were one of the ones, some of the people who held on to Mendenhall through the early days and hoped that he could come out and give some value.
Well, we figured even if he was an average running back, that made him much better than the other guys that he was competing for carries with.
That's right. And we were getting him late.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I loved. Ben Roethlisberger's on pace for a really good season. I mean, we're talking about almost 4,000 yards, I think, and 32 touchdowns compared to, like, 6 picks. I mean, that's a damn fine season for him. But, I mean, Antonio Brown is on pace for, like, 100 receptions and 1,300 yards. I mean, he is having a great season. Mike Wallace is probably not quite.
I think Heath Miller's the one who's taken a lot of. I think Heath Miller's taken a lot of the receptions and touches away from Wallace because they already have your deep threat, and Wallace isn't really an underneath guy, so Miller kind of ends up with those, and Wallace is kind of just left, you know, with the scraps.
It'll be interesting to see how Miller does now that they actually have a bit of a running game, because I think with the weakness of the running game, Miller was kind of the outlet for that, the dump-off, so it'll be interesting to see how that changes.
All right, let's move on. We're going to go into the AFC South. Let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Go!
Well, the Indianapolis Colts pulled off a shocker when they beat the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I expected it to be not that close. I definitely expected Luck to put up some numbers, but not like that. And
Garbage time numbers.
And Reggie Wayne is on fire.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
I mean, over 200 yards in that game. I mean, this guy he's just finding ways to get open, and Andrew Luck is showing no fear in targeting him, and that is a recipe for fantasy success. I wish that we had Reggie Wayne more.
Yeah, considering how late we could have picked him up. What's his name, the tight end, Fleener?
Fleener.
People had high hopes for. I mean, there was a lot of questions. Just nothing there. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. It's almost maybe he's having a bigger trouble adjusting to the pro game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a real possibility.
And we've had some other receivers like Avery who had good games. Are we just going to see that occasionally because Luck and Wayne will give them the one-on-one, and Luck's a pretty decent quarterback? Or
absolutely. Luck is going to throw the ball a bunch. Because, let's be honest, their running game is...
And that's not going to open up regardless of how well Luck plays, is it? Brown just isn't good enough.
No, Brown just isn't good enough. He's an average running back at best, and I think that the rest of their receivers right now are pretty much just slightly above fill-in talent.
Okay, cutting it, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, it was good to see Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, out on the field, come back from his holdout and instantly be pretty much the number one guy. That was good for us.
Yeah, considering we have him like six times, drafting him late. Yeah,
the price was right, but
for sure.
I do hope that he can get it going a little bit more. I mean, that team is atrocious. There's nothing really that's good. I mean, Justin Blackmon is not the receiver that I pegged him for. He might develop down the road, but
his physical skills are remarkable. We kept on calling him a beast. He is a beast. But his confidence and his pattern running was really, really disappointing and poor.
Yeah.
And without a quarterback to give him that confidence, I mean, and Mercedes Lewis was another guy who people thought might become a tight end, too. He's not even that, you know.
Well, I think it's because he's stuck on the line blocking. I mean, their offensive line, which was at one point a strength, is now showing so badly. And that's not helping Blaine Gabbert try to earn a respectable tag after last season. I mean, it looked like on the first game that he was going to be respectable this year. Not so much, though, so far.
Yeah, no. It's no development there. Cutting it, we're moving on to the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans, man, this is one of those teams that a couple of years ago, the Houston Texans were a dream fantasy team, and then they were an average football team. Now, they're a great football team who's only an average fantasy team. Arian Foster is putting up the RB1 numbers that you hoped for.
Not first overall numbers, though.
Probably
RB
not
number numbers.
But who is putting up or like first overall numbers?
Yeah, good point.
There isn't anybody else. And Matt Schaub has settled into the role of game manager a la Alex Smith. So, I mean, he's playing well.
Yeah, he's really spreading the ball around because of that, though. You know, hurting one guy in particular.
Oh, absolutely. Andre Johnson has been a complete and utter disaster so far this season. I mean, he only had one catch this last game, and I mean, I know he's hurting us big time because, again, it's one of those cases where when you're sitting there drafting in the positions that we do, you know, to get a guy as talented as Andre Johnson, you have to jump on him.
Is he going to turn it around, or is it just Owen? Are they just going to keep looking at Owen Daniels and that run game, but they won't have to turn it around, or what?
I mean, they don't have to turn it around, so there is a chance, but I think that his talent is just too much. Eventually, they're going to have to start. Somebody will figure it out, and they'll have to start feeding him the ball.
All right, and that leaves us with the Tennessee Titans.
Wow, the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they suck. You know, I mean, Jake Locker, maybe the team didn't play quite as well with Jake Locker at quarterback as Hasselbeck, but the truth is at least Jake Locker gave them a chance to win, and I think that Hasselbeck doesn't really, because Hasselbeck is just too old now.
Yeah.
Jake Locker, I think they just need to open up the floodgates. Let him run, let him do whatever the hell he wants, and just...
If he can't have a consistently healthy receiving core, though...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what can he do?
Yeah, Kenny Britt's barely sniffed the field for the most part. Yeah. Kendall Wright is actually the leading rookie receiver right now, and he's actually showing pretty well, so I got to say that I've been surprised.
Well, wide receiver four still, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about Jared Cook at the tight end slot.
Jared Cook has, I think, the talent to be a tight end one. They don't know how to use him.
Yeah, it's just been a real struggle so far, and Chris Johnson, who had one big game and now is back to the 24 yards rushing on a game. I mean,
is he hitting 1,000 yards?
At this point, I'm going to say no.
Crazy.
I know. And this is a guy who was drafted in the first round, and he's not missing time due to injury right now.
No. All right, going to move on to the AFC West here. I think that was it for the we got them all there? We got them all. All right, we're going to go on to the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Well, Peyton Manning, I think, has probably been a real good thing for the Denver Broncos, especially for Demaryius Thomas. That guy's been on fire of late. I mean, I think he's even hit 200 a couple of times, maybe. But but he's been in big 3-digit numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're only 2-3, but as far as fantasy numbers are concerned, Peyton's doing it exactly what you want. He's a top 10 quarterback, and Thomas is good, and you still get other guys who have occasional good games.
Oh,
and McGahee's solid running the ball. Nothing spectacular, but solid as hell.
Well, he's the best guy that Peyton Manning's had since Edgerrin James.
Yeah, it's probably true, actually, now that you mention it.
And I think, you know, Eric
Decker... And they won the Super Bowl when they had a die in Brown, so...
Yeah, I mean, Eric Decker is a really good receiver, and I think he just has up-and-down games. But I think the oddity is the tight end position. Yeah. Dreesen is getting all the touchdowns, essentially, and Tammy's not getting nearly as much work as a lot of people kind of figured. I mean...
But Dreesen doesn't see the ball. Tammy at least sees the ball in between the numbers. It's like if you combine them all, you'd have a low-end tight end one.
Yeah.
But as it is, you don't have anything.
Yeah, and Hillman looks to now be suddenly be coming on as the number two running back. So, you know, there's something there.
He runs hard. All right, Oakland Raiders, go.
Oakland Raiders. Oh, boy. Carson Palmer is who he thought he was. Carson Palmer should be a game manager at this point in the, you know, in his career.
Hard to believe that he's the same age as Tony Romo and Rex Grossman.
It is really, really, really hard to believe because he's got a lot, way, way, way more wear on those tires. I mean, their receiving core has been an utter disaster. You want to talk about the Titans' receiving core? I mean, the Oakland. I don't think Oakland is fielding.
Well, today
the same.
We were looking at a waiver moves and. DHB was on waiver wires.
Yeah.
I mean, more than once we see. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, but it's because you just never know with those guys. I mean, it's just so up in the air as to any game. I mean, DHB, I don't think he's crested 1,000 yards yet in his career in one season.
No, but his last six games last year were tremendous.
Yes, yes. McFadden has been the big question for everybody.
He's still the guy to own. He'll put it together.
He totally will. They have a nice schedule.
As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah. They have a nice schedule down the stretch, and I really think that he's going to finally be
able
to get the training wheels off.
Maybe people can, buy low on him.
Yeah, they might be able to.
Yeah.
But one thing's for sure, the Raiders' defense is targetable to play against every week.
True. All right, Kansas City Chiefs, let's go.
Well, I mean, again, it feels like the bottom of the barrel we're scraping right now because the Kansas City Chiefs have Matt Castle typically at starting quarterback, and I think it's actually good for them that he might be out for miss a game because they actually get a chance to see if Brady Quinn can run their offense effectively because Matt Castle can't run their offense effectively.
Yeah, that said, the crowd shouldn't be cheering when he gets hurt.
No, that was
wretched.
Classless. That was really bad.
Yeah, that's classless.
One of the things that they are lucky to have is Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
He is totally one of those guys that you give him the ball 30 times, he's going to give you some great numbers.
Yeah, and they're not afraid to give it to him 30, and I think they want to get it to him 60.
Oh, well, and really, why wouldn't you? He is, at this point, their only bit of offense. Peyton Hillis has dropped off the face of the map right now, and it's...
And Bo is still a wide receiver, too, because he gets targets.
Absolutely. I mean, he gets targets, and he can catch the balls and make all the plays. You know, the question is...
God, wouldn't you love to see him with a Peyton Manning?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Because it's Breston and Baldwin who are like, are they ever going to show up? Are they ever going to be a good team? I don't know.
All right, speaking of Tony Romo, Dallas Cowboys, hit it.
Isn't this a little out of order?
No, you're right. You have San Diego Chargers. That's what I meant. Speaking of Tony Romo, Dallas Chargers, hit it.
Wow.
Let's just do both teams in 90 seconds in one shot. No.
Yeah,
hey, go ahead with the Chargers. Come on, you're losing time here.
Yeah, the Chargers. Well, Phillip Rivers is playing solid to average football. I wonder if he's older than, you know, has more mileage on him. He seems to be turning into Carson Palmer in my mind.
Well, he's got to be younger than Drew Brees. So I don't know what the hell. Gates is hurting from it.
Oh, Gates is being so bad. I mean, you're looking at 1 to 2 fantasy
points
per game.
Is he turning it around? I'm starting to worry.
I am very worried. Like, I know that
because
I'm reading...
Because Malcolm Floyd is looking terrific.
Yeah, I'm reading some things that say that Antonio Gates has a good schedule coming up and stuff like that. But man, oh man, I'm worried about that guy.
Yeah, I if we have him, right now we have him quite a bit. If he has one great game, I'd probably sell high if I could.
If I could, yeah.
Yeah, and Ryan Matthews, on the other hand, I'm starting to feel comfortable with again.
Definitely. He exploded a little bit. Meacham even had a good game. But you got one thing
I
won't
touch that guy, though.
You got to remember, he had that great game on 4 targets. That by itself does not a fantasy recipe for success make.
All right, now moving on to the NFC East. Of course, we teased it, so here we go. New York Giants, go!
Well, Tony Romo. No, I mean, Eli Manning is having another one of his good seasons. He's crazy wild, like, inconsistent in games. He's not necessarily inconsistent, like, you know, throughout the season anymore, but in games, he's like, in the first
That's
half,
a good
he's
way to
terrible.
Put it. You know, at the end of the game, he always has a good stat line, but he's up and down during that game.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he's missing Hakeem Nicks. He's missing, like, they've put up a different receiving core almost every game, too. I mean, whether it's Dominic Hickson, whether it's Reuben Randall. I mean, Victor Cruz has remained really consistent, though. He is.
Damn, he's good.
Man, he is good for an undrafted free agent, I think he was, or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, he is putting up great fantasy stats. I love the fact that people thought that Andre Brown was kind of like a fantasy savior when he jumped out and had one good game, and then the next game was exposed as a slow, plodding running back to go with Andre or to go with Bradshaw there.
Yeah, and Bradshaw, and then Bradshaw exploded this last game. So, I mean, they've had it's almost like their offensive line or the fact people have to respect Eli creates holes that allows an average running back to get the numbers. Is Bennett going to – has fallen off? Is he going to pick it back up?
Well, if he's not too hurt this last game, then that – I mean, because the injury was a problem.
Okay. Moving on. We have to cut it there, so we're going to talk about Dallas. Do it.
Well, I mean, Dallas has not been the team that I think I expected. I definitely wanted more out of them. I mean, we didn't draft Tony Romo at all this year.
Just because they didn't fall to us, but we had nothing against them.
No, not really. I mean, he's got some talent. I mean, Miles Austin is still a great target when he stays healthy. Dez Bryant should be a beast, even though the mental lapses are still murdering his game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think they'll ever stop at this point.
No. It was great to see Jason Witten back on the horse catching balls again this last game.
Man, if you could combine Witten's attitude and work ethic with Dez Bryant, you'd have the greatest receiver ever.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'd have Jerry Rice, pretty much.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray,
I mean, he's a guy. Here's another guy I'm scared of, because he was another guy that you could get, that you were getting in the first, early second round. And he played so well last year as a rookie. And this year, he just looks so... He looks Chris Johnson-esque bad.
Well, I think a lot of that is just his offensive line is doing nothing for him.
Well, for sure. I mean, it's a tough thing. I mean, that running game overall, like Felix Jones is a shell of his former self. I mean,
All of this said, I mean, yeah, he's nothing, but... All this said, they had a good week one. I feel like they could still put it together, unlike some teams.
I feel like they're done.
Okay. Eagles.
Eagles. Wow. Eagles. I say wow a lot because it's almost like I'm surprised by these teams as they pop up because I'm waiting for the good teams.
Yeah, they're the worst 3-2 team in football.
Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors with the Eagles. Michael Vick has... Michael Vick is dropping the football. Like, if you even look at the guy funny, he drops the football. He is getting rid of it so much, and not necessarily to his receivers.
But all that said, you know what? And he's being no good in real world. In the fantasy, he's never put up a complete bomb.
No, he's not putting
even
up
against,
a...
Even in that game where he threw all those picks and did nothing against the against the Browns. Last second, he got a touchdown and a few running yards, and it's like, okay, he's a low-end one or a high-end two.
Yeah, absolutely. He is putting up decent fantasy numbers, which is kind of the odd moment of it.
How about Celek and their two wide receivers, Macklin and Jackson? Any thoughts? I think we know that McCoy's still solid.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs some touchdowns, though.
He definitely needs some touchdowns. He needs to get out on the field a lot more. But, you know, Celek has his up-and-down games. I think that he probably started out hotter than most people expect. I expect him to settle down myself. As far as Macklin, I mean, the injury thing hurts. DeSean Jackson is having a really good season, though. He's shown more willingness to go.
People might trade him not realizing that he's having as good a season. He might be somebody you can get at a modest price despite how well he's performing because people haven't realized it. So we're going to go on and talk about RJ3. Talk about the Skins.
Redskins and RJ3, absolutely.
RJ3, I said.
Yes, you did.
Let's talk about him, too.
Okay.
Yeah, well, RG3, I screwed it up.
I'm going to start out with RG3, but...
Yeah, start about him, and if we have time at the end of the 90 seconds, we'll talk about RG3. Anyways, go on.
All right. Well, he's had some great stats for a rookie quarterback. The running, obviously, really helps him. I think that, you know, I hope that...
He's done it without one receiver or even his tight end consistently stepping up.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I mean, somebody always has a good game. You can't tell who it's going to be.
No, when you look at Carolina, last year, at least they had Steve Smith. He hasn't had a single guy like Steve Smith. I mean, Hankerson stepped up, and then you've had Pierre Garçon, who did great in the first game but hasn't done much. Fred Davis was invisible up until recently when he kind of exploded. But one of the reasons why is because Alfred Morris has been just a real shock. This guy has been an absolute beast. Running hard, running angry, exactly like you want, and he's just built for that system right now. I know that we've said, you know, you can say that about a lot of running backs, but Alfred Morris is really showing that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a must start every week for consistency.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it. And,
Nobody did, and they're not switching anybody. We always thought they'd be switching running backs in and out. There's no committee going on there. We're moving on and talking about, let's talk about Carolina. Why don't we hit them?
Sure. Well, Cam Newton has not been the fantasy force that I think we were hoping. It's been tough. He's gotten some inconsistent play from everybody. But, you know, I mean, Newton's one of those guys that... Newton's one of those guys that I really expected a lot from.
Well, yeah, first round pick often,
but
including us.
Yeah, but he's really pushing the ball, and he's just not getting the
sophomore slump or more reality of what we should expect from him going forward for his career.
You know, I think it's more of a sophomore slump. I think once he gets through this part, then he'll probably start to pick it up a little bit because he just has to learn. But it doesn't help right now the fact that D'Angelo Williams has been pretty terrible. Jonathan Stewart's not doing that well. Like, Jonathan Stewart, like, they need D'Angelo Williams to pretty much go away.
You know, one of the things, though, is Steve Smith, like, Greg Olsen's actually been, and could be even better if you target him. But Greg Olsen's been pretty good. Steve Smith, we kept on thinking for a few years, it's like, okay, he's old, he's finally hit the wall. Then he had the great season last year. We're like, you know, he still got it. Well, maybe it's finally hit the wall. What do you think?
Yeah, it's possible. He might have hit the wall. I mean, I love Steve Smith. He is a little tiny bundle of anger, and I love that about him. But it's possible that he's not the same Steve Smith.
He's still valuable because he's a leader, but I don't know if he's so valuable fantasy-wise. We're going to move on to the Falcons.
Matt Ryan has been the kind of the guy that everybody really hoped Joe Flacco was going to be, to a certain degree. Like, Matt Ryan, they pulled all the reins off, they let him go, and he's just really gone after it each and every game. He has been amazing overall, and exactly what we expected, I think, which is why it's such a shame that we never got him.
Yeah, I know, because we wanted him bad so many times, and he never fell to us. One of the things that's happened with that is it's hiding the fact that their run game is pretty average because they have two really good receivers who put up solid numbers and making a tight end put up incredible numbers at 36.
Oh,
Gonzalez,
man.
Gonzalez, 36 years old.
Yeah, Tony G has been an absolute beast this season. He is.
And it's not going to stop.
No, I don't see it stopping because when you got Julio Jones and Roddy White on the outside, who are still getting really good numbers, but you know, and then the real thing is that they wind up taking these immense leads, and that's still allowing Michael Turner to have good, solid numbers.
Solid numbers last couple of games. Yeah. Jaquez Rogers, he's not going to turn out, is he?
I don't think he is.
Barring an injury to Turner, he's not turning out.
Even then, I just don't know. He's just not, like, he may fit their system, but I just don't know that he has the talent. Like,
or the anger. Maybe he just doesn't have the attitude.
Yeah, I expected more.
Cutting it, we're going to the Bucks.
The Bucks.
Buccaneers.
The Bucks. Well, Vincent Jackson has been pretty much what I expected with the Bucks. He's a huge target that...
He's a matchup beast, especially in the end zone still.
Yeah, when you need him to play against a bad team, he's definitely going to be there. Against a good team, he can still get taken out. I mean, Freeman has shown a little bit better this year than he did last year, which is good because they need him to. One of the things that I find really interesting about this team is the running game. I mean, Doug Martin was one of those guys that people were definitely taking probably in the third, fourth round. And I'm not 100% sure that he was worth it right now because I just don't know. I barely even see what his stats are.
You know? He's solid, but never spectacular.
Yeah.
He's usually like 80 yards and the occasional touchdown. No real catches, you know?
You know, and LeGarrette Blount is like they keep talking about him as the...
Freeman is a matchup quarterback. You know, Martin's a low-end wide receiver or running back too. Jackson's a low-end or high-end wide receiver, too.
Two, probably.
You know, and the Bucks defense being very good in their terrific matchup play. A terrific matchup play this week, particularly.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This week.
Kansas City and Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other thing is Williams on the other end is a wide receiver 4 or 5, so that's more than I expected.
Yeah.
All right, New York or New Orleans.
Well, they finally got their first victory, which was nice to see. I mean, Drew Brees is still continuing to put up amazing fantasy numbers.
I think he's second highest quarterback as far as fantasy numbers per game average.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. He is putting it up. But the one thing that has suffered because of Drew Brees' numbers is they've dropped all pretense of even desiring a running game.
It's unbelievable. Everybody will get like 5 touches. Nobody produces a damn thing, and they don't even care.
No, because I mean, I know we drafted, we went after Ingram a couple of times. We've now dropped him because he doesn't like.
There's no chance he's going to do anything.
No,
last year's first round pick, no chance though.
Yeah, because you know by the time Ingram
Thomas
even gets
more touches, and he doesn't even do anything.
No, and Darren Sproles gets a few rushing yards, but he catches the ball, and so that makes him a viable play in PPR leagues.
PPR priority leagues, he's an RB3.
Yeah,
because he catches the ball, but and their defense is awful. Breeze is everything. The only receiver to own, so still consistently. I mean, Moore, if he's healthy, is okay. But Colston is still a beast. But then again, Colston's had 2 awesome games. But Colston is historically hot and cold. Sell high?
I would totally sell high. I mean, he'll have his good games, but he's also going to have his clunkers when Breeze spreads it around. I mean, just look at Devery Henderson. I mean, Henderson had a great game with Lance Moore out, but it's not going to happen all the time.
Okay, let's move on to the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears. Well, Jay Cutler is wildly inconsistent, but
newsflash.
Yeah, totally. But thankfully, Brandon Marshall is not wildly inconsistent. Brandon Marshall is totally the guy that that they expected when they traded for him, and I think that is great news for fantasy and great news for the Bears. Alshon Jeffrey was totally showing really well before he got his hand injured, so I don't know exactly how long he's going to miss, but for a rookie receiver, he was having a pretty good year. Matt Forte, you know, shame that he missed the couple of games there, but because he's definitely looking like coming back as the workhorse back. Michael Bush never really took advantage like I maybe thought he could have. Or
his whole career, he hasn't.
Nope, he's definitely not.
The door's been open a crack for him many times. He's never once busted it down.
Yeah, I thought that he had the talent to bust it down, but I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think Matt Forte is, as far as real-world talent, top 3 running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And the Bears' defense is pretty much matchup proof. Like, they are one of the few defenses out there that you
highest
can play.
Highest scoring fantasy defense last year, and they're going to end up in the top three this year.
Yeah, you can pretty much play them any day of the week, and you won't be unhappy.
Lions.
Oh, man, the Detroit Lions. Now, you want to talk about a team that has been busting this year. I mean, Stafford has been inconsistent, which is crazy out of him because he had such a good year last year. Their running game has been...
And the only thing that ever held him back was staying healthy before that.
Yeah.
Since his rookie season when he struggled. I mean, he's always been good consistently, except for his health until last year when he was finally healthy, and then he was great the whole year.
Yeah. But this year, he hasn't even been great. I don't even know if he's been great once.
I think he had one decent game. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, their running game has been an absolute crazy hot mess. It's just, you know, is it Mikel LeSueur? Is it Kevin Smith? Is it going to be Javed Best? Is it...
Yeah, week seven now, they're talking about Javed Best coming back and being healthy. And if he is, he would be their best running back, I guess.
Well, but they're still talking about a timeshare between, like, he's going to be the Darren Sproles to Mikel LeSueur's whatever the hell.
Calvin Johnson hasn't done anything. He's still going to put it together, but is he going to be a top, let's say, top five, top 10? Where is he going to finish?
I mean, I think that his talent makes him a top 10, pretty much guaranteed, but I'm not sure that it makes him top five this year, that's for sure. And their tight ends are
Pettigrew gets 10 catches, so in a PPR, he's okay, but nothing really to talk about. Don't ever play the defense. Move on to the Packers.
The Packers, they're not the team that people expected them to be. Aaron Rodgers is a great player, but I mean, he seems to be playing a little bit off this year. They're not like, he's still putting up good fantasy numbers.
Yeah, he still gives you solid QB1 numbers, but last year he could win you games and even championships by himself. That's not happening this year.
No.
He can still give you QB1 numbers, but you need good players around him.
But again,
he's not the difference maker.
Yeah, and many, many, many people were drafting him in the first round. So is he worth that
top three or top four?
Yeah. Is he worth that first round
pick?
Not
this year, no.
Not this year. Cedric Benson has been a real... he's probably been a real unfortunate, play.
I think a lot of the times the game plan has taken him out of the game, or the game situations have taken him out of the game, so he never had the touches. Now he's gone for half the season.
Yeah, I think one of the key things about Benson is that he gets better the more touches he gets, and Green Bay's system doesn't allow for that many touches.
Now, they have a really tough run schedule coming up. I still like Alex Green more than Starks, personally.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as they have Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Greg Jennings occasionally, they got...
Driver got a touchdown, I believe, this
wow,
week.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, Cobb still, yeah. I mean, Finley, Jermichael Finley, though...
I'm a little worried about
him. He's lost in the shuffle, and I don't think you're going to see it this year.
Yeah, I don't know that his head's in the game the right way.
Yeah. All right, and the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, the best thing about the Minnesota Vikings, probably so far, besides the resurgence of Adrian Peterson, has actually been their defense. Their defense is keeping them in games, and this is what people expected out of their defense probably last year and the year before, and didn't get. Mm-hmm. And this year, they're actually getting it out of them, so that's been a real good step for them. Adrian Peterson has been awesome coming back from his injury. He hasn't exploded, but...
He's getting better, though, and it's going to happen.
Yeah. Christian Ponder has been actually a viable flex play every now and then.
Yeah. This last week, we were back and forth as whether or not we should play him or Cam Newton. Then at the end of the day, we said, let's play they're your best player for a reason. We drafted Cam Newton first overall, or not first overall, but first round. Let's play him. Mistake.
Yeah.
Ponder outplayed him, and the matchup said he would. We pretty much knew he would.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Percy Harvin, matchup proof, pretty much.
Percy Harvin has been killer. Like, we had a trade offer that came up for Percy Harvin, and it was an okay trade.
It was a good trade offer. I mean, we were offered C.J. Spiller. That said, you just wouldn't trade away what you said is our best receiver.
Yeah.
And at the time, Amendola actually put up more numbers. But Percy Harvin is just, he's that, talent-wise, he's Dez Bryant without all your brain farts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when he's on the field, he is a complete and utter game changer. And Kyle Rudolph has totally been doing the touchdown thing. He's a good tight end.
Okay, moving on to the home stretch, AFC West, San Francisco 49ers.
Wow. This time when I say wow, I mean wow, because they're damn good.
Yeah, I still think they're the AFC or the NFC's best team, and I still think the NFC has the better teams than than the AFC. So.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Smith has perfected the game manager role to such a point now where he's elite in that category, and he's getting to put up like just really strong numbers and consistent numbers game in and game out. He has a great running game to play with. I mean, Frank Gore is still playing really well. Kendall Hunter is there to spell him and play really well. They still have Brandon Jacobs to put in. I mean, wide receiver Crabtree is putting up really solid numbers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's not doing a bad job. Vernon Davis, what can you say about that guy? He's a monster.
Top three tight end. Can you consider Alex? I mean, obviously, one of the three best defenses. Can you consider Alex Smith a QB1? A low-end QB1?
Most of the experts probably wouldn't, but given the wild inconsistency of some of the players that people are playing right now, like given a Cam Newton, I would rather be playing Alex Smith.
I love consistency out of my quarterback. Really, yeah. Honestly, that's all I want from you. That's all I want from you, and then I can build the rest of the team around it.
But, yeah, I mean, the defense needs to be mentioned again because they're beasts.
Seattle Seahawks.
Well, speaking of defenses, I mean, one of the best things Seattle has going for it is their defense. They got tough, tough, tough press corners. They got crazy, you know, rush to the football, sack the quarterback kind of defensive line. I mean, that defense is really hard and even harder at home.
Yeah, their team is awesome home team. And you know what? The thing is they're great against the run, but they're also very good against the pass, whereas the Dolphins are great against the run and average against the pass.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the Dolphins had the corners that the Seahawks had, maybe it'd be a different
especially
story.
Especially Cam Wake.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's a stud. Yeah.
He is a
but,
total stud.
But, yeah, I mean, nevertheless, Marshawn Lynch is great play, but that's it. I mean, despite the teams being 3-2 and their defense in the right situation, you know, Holmes especially, that's the only player, really, isn't it?
Oh, man, yeah. Marshawn Lynch.
He's a great player, but he's an RB top five.
Yep.
But that's it.
But Russell Wilson has been really just average. He's not even really being inconsistent. He's just been consistently average.
He's learning to be a game manager, which is they want and need him to be.
Yeah, which is a shame because I think that he'd
never be a fantasy guy then. Yeah, he probably does have more.
And all their wide receivers, whoever the hell it is, they're all the same. I mean, Sidney Rice is supposed to be their top guy, but he's not. I don't even know who their top guy really is because from game to game it changes.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Rams. Go.
Well, the Rams lost their only real viable fantasy play with Danny Amendola. And
who was looking to put up solid low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two numbers.
Yeah, although maybe even like good, solid wide receiver one numbers in a PPR, better than low. He was really on pace for good numbers. Their running game...
How long is he going to be out, though?
Well, it's probably only like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Although, no, they have no timeline. I mean, he actually almost died. I mean, that injury could have killed him because they've never had an injury like that happen in the NFL before.
Wow.
So, I mean, they were really lucky that he didn't die in this case. Steven Jackson is probably still a good running back. Daryl Richardson.
He's an RB3 at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to let him test free agency after this year, and who knows.
He had 80 yards this last week. If you get that from him, you're probably happy.
Absolutely, you're happy.
I don't know if you can look at a Brandon Gibson or a Steve Smith coming in or anybody taking Amendola's
We're gonna need to wait and see, take a wait-and-see attitude with the rest of their receivers.
Their defense, though, in the right matchup, especially at home.
Oh, man, yeah.
Zerline.
That last game, that defense was awesome. Well, Zerline is totally
good. I mean, Long and Laurinaitis, they are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the Cardinals, last team.
Last team, wow. Well, the Arizona Cardinals, talk about a smoke and mirrors team. They're doing it all by defense. Because it doesn't matter if it's John Skelton or Kevin Cobb, they have no real good quarterbacking. Their running game, well, we did predict it correctly. Ryan Williams made their starting lineup.
Yeah, because Wells is made out of glass.
Because Wells is made out of glass. But one thing that Ryan Williams isn't is good. And so Ryan Williams completely dropped that chance, and now he's injured, so we'll never have it. We won't have a chance.
How long is he out for?
The rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. Powell, number one rusher in the preseason. A lot of that skewed from a 70-yard run and the fact that many people don't carry much in the preseason. I've seen him on game film. I think he's a talented player. I don't care. He doesn't have an O-line.
No, he got no O-line. I mean, thankfully, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, despite horrible quarterbacking,
he'll still do it.
He's still consistent, but
Roberts will have the occasional game, but you can't guess when.
No, I mean, Andre Roberts is...
Defense will still put up numbers.
Oh, yeah. Their defense is a good defense, and they're going to win more games. There's no question about it. But the biggest problem is that their offense just will never be able to match the output of their defense, and I think that is just a real concern for them coming down the season.
All right, we did it. 32 teams in 48 minutes. I'm just going to get two quick questions from you here just before we wrap up then. Number one, what is it that you have to say about Randy Moss, drafted so often in these season and the preseason hype? I don't know if anybody still has him on the roster, but just a little bit about the coach speak.
Well, I doubt that anybody does have him on the roster. If they do, then they're not playing. You know, Harbaugh came out and said that it's bound to happen, that he's going to go off at some point. But really, I mean, he's got like 99 yards through five games or something like that. So, I mean, based on that, what is going off? Is going off going to be he catches 90 yards in a game? Is that going to be going off? I don't know. Perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't.
He's done, folks. You know what? Good example. Always beware of coach speak. Number two, real-world NFL, not fantasy. Give me what you think are the top five teams right now.
Top five teams? Well, the 49ers are awesome.
Yeah.
I think that the Houston Texans are a very good team. They are going to find ways to win. I think that the Patriots, despite their record, they're just getting started. Who else is there? I think that the Giants have to be in that list because Eli, you know, when the chips are down, they're going to find ways to win. Mm-hmm. And then, who would be the last team? There's teams that I think are close that would be crazy to put in there. Like, I actually think Seattle is a very good team.
I think Seattle is a good team, too.
I just don't know that.
I have them top five, but I think they're very good.
Top five, you know.
Yeah. I would say, for me, I'm going to go my number one team. Is the 49ers. I still think they're the best team. I think Chicago Bears are the second best team in football right now. I think Chicago's the second best team. I think then you go the Houston Texans, Atlanta Falcons, and I'll follow it up with the Giants. So Ravens are the team probably not getting any love from us yet.
Yeah, I think so. And I would probably put, as my number five team, I would probably put the Falcons in there.
Falcons, yeah. Okay.
Because they've just been showing really well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, I think that's it. We Talk Fantasy Football. I'm Mo, Mo_WeTalk on Twitter. Mo at We Talk Podcasts is my email if you want to reach me. And Brett, you?
That's Brett, Brett, _WeTalk, and Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com, again, for the email.
Yeah, that's about it. I think we're OUT. Anything else you want to say?
I think I'm going to say that we'll see you and we'll beat you.